All right, welcome to Christian Overcomers, and thank you for joining us for this Bible study. Revelation 1b, the Alpha and Omega codes. You know, many people say that we cannot prove the Bible, and that we have to go purely on faith. And you know what? Faith is something that every Christian has to have. But the fact is God uses many different witnesses to prove his word, to prove that he is who he says he is. So looking at facts, looking at substance, looking at witnesses is not something that we should shy away from or be afraid of as Christians. In fact, it should strengthen our faith. And we're going to talk about a little bit today about how modern day science is beginning to see that everything in creation is purposely designed by someone or something with great intelligence. And of course, we know that someone or something is Almighty God. And a couple of those breakthroughs that really witness to the fact that there is an intelligent design or a creator is breakthroughs in DNA as well as quantum physics. And you know what? Someone very close to me that had lost their faith for about 10 years actually regained their faith because of these breakthroughs in modern science. Because when he took a look at these things, he saw, oh my gosh, there is a creator. There is a God. Because no one, this stuff can't just happen by chance. And you know what? Many atheists, many agnostics in the scientific community are beginning to see the same thing. Because you cannot help but start believing. If you're looking at these things all the time and you're not completely blinded. Because there's an order, there's a pattern, and there's a design. There are codes within these things. And, you know, by the end of this study, whether you're a believer or not, you're going to find out that God's word is much closer to you than you could have ever dreamed of. And, before we get into the study, let us open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you can help us understand your word. Help us to be able to observe your creation and to see your hand in all things, to see your design, to see your intelligence, and appreciate it and that we can use it to help strengthen our faith in you and who you are and your greatness and the vastness of your majesty, your glory. And we pray this in the name of Yeshua, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, please turn with me to Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, and let's begin reading. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Now, we're going to talk about the seven churches in our upcoming studies. And there are some fascinating things that we're going to find out about them. But until then, think about this question. There were many different churches that were founded by the apostles at this time, at the time of when Revelation was written. But God only singled out seven churches to represent his candlesticks, to represent the light on earth, and so on. Why would he do that? Why just these seven? Now, that's a good question. And maybe we'll figure that out when we talk about it. But so the seven churches are mentioned here in Asia. We're talking about Asia Minor, not Asia as far as what you would think of modern day Asia. But this would be your modern day Turkey is where this where these churches were. And again, we'll have a whole study set aside for the seven churches. We're going to kind of skip over that today and talk about the Alpha and the Omega. And And we'll talk about those seven spirits as well. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. Very important titles here. And all these we won't get into today, but we will most likely get into them in our upcoming studies. And the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There can be no greater love than that, my friends. For him to wash us in his own blood. Verse 6. And he made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, the kings and priests, again, that's another topic we're going to deal with later on. Let's go to verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Talking about when Christ returns, that every eye shall see him. Not a secret rapture or anything like that. And there's another topic that we're going to not talk about today, but we will get into. Verse 8. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. This verse is packed full of very important statements that we need to uncover. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. Again, the topic is the Alpha and the Omega. Let's look at this here. Let's break this verse down a little bit. There we have a part of God's sacred name there. I am. I am. Like when God said to Moses, when Moses said, Who am I going to tell the Israelites? Who shall I say that I was sent by? And God answered with a voice simply, I am that I am. So there we go, I am. Now we got Alpha and Omega. Another pretty powerful name. I kind of like the sound of that. I am Alpha and Omega. You know, it sounds powerful. And let's go to the next one. The beginning and the ending. Interesting. Saith the Lord. There's saith Yahweh. There's another sacred name. Which is. That's another title of his. And which was. And which is to come. The Almighty. So, I don't know of too many more verses that are this powerful in God's Word. You know, it's easy when we're studying the Bible to just read over things and, just say, well, these are just, cool sounding names. But you know what? God doesn't waste time when recording his word. There's a reason he uses all of these titles here. And we're going to explore at least part of that reason here today in depth. Now, I'm going to pull up a slide here that's interesting here. We're going to talk a little bit about the statement when he says, which was, which is, and which is to come. Well, the statement, when you look at it, it's you can kind of simply break it up as, which was in the past, okay? He's always existed. Yeah, I could have actually drawn an arrow here, drawn a arrow backwards into eternity. Into eternity. Which is present, and which is to come. The future. And what does that say? What does that kind of, how can we sum it up? He is the eternal one, or you could even say the Almighty. The Almighty. Okay, so what, let's look at this here. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega. Alpha is kind of looks like that could fall in the past column there, and Omega into the future. But here we go, Alpha and Omega. are the Greek, the first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter. This is equivalent to basically saying, I'll pull it up there so you can see it. This is basically the same thing as saying, I am from A to Z in the English. Now, this is very significant, and you're going to see why. But first, let's convert this over to Hebrew first. Because in the Hebrew, it's actually it's probably even more significant in the Hebrew than it is the Greek. Now, right here, I got a chart. This is the ancient Hebrew alphabet, the Phoenician alphabet, Hebrew-Phoenician alphabet from around 1400 BC. Now, Hebrew reads from right to left, so we're going to circle the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and it's an aleph. And it's supposed to symbolize an ox head or an ox cart. And that's pretty significant when you think of what Adam's job was as the first farmer and so on, the first Adam. And then you go all the way to the last letter, and that should strike you. That should really strike you as something pretty significant. Because the last letter, Ta, or Tav, is a Christian cross. And we're going to be talking about that Christian cross a little bit more in detail. I think we're probably really in depth when we get to Revelation 7. But what does that say? The ending is the cross. Now, can you remember when Christ said, it is finished, when he was hanging there on the cross? In other words, he said, I reached the last letter of the alphabet, even as far as completion is concerned. You know, the cross completed a lot of things. It was the whole plan of salvation. Came into being really when our Lord, our Passover lamb, was sacrificed for us so that his blood could cleanse us from all sin. You know, redemption, being saved, being redeemed is the entire theme of the Bible. That's what it's all about. And it's all symbolized in the cross. You know, some people are afraid. They think like using a cross is like, you know, some pagan symbol or something like that. No, it's not. It's far from that. In fact, this is the sign that Ezekiel, in the book of Ezekiel, that the angel or the angel with the ink, with the pen, went through and wrote upon the foreheads of all of God's servants who sighed and cried because of all the abominations. In other words, all those who loved God's law were marked with the cross. Amazing. God's word is so amazing. And there's an even deeper mystery into that about the joining of the house of Israel and Judah in the new covenant with the two sticks that I won't go into right now. But anyways, so Christ is the Aleph and the Ta. He is the cross. He's all the above. Let's go back to this chart here. He also says in another verse, we haven't gotten to it yet, a few more verses in Revelation here, but he also says he is the first and the last. So what is the first and the... So he says first and last. First, we think of as, I guess, number one, going to, if he's the last, probably into infinity. And what's kind of interesting about this is, I'll pull it up there for you. Here's a symbol that's supposed to represent infinity, and a lot of keyboards, if you have special symbols, you can insert into your computer. This is the mathematical symbol for infinity. And it was given to us by a man named John Wallace in the year 1655. Looks like he was in the priesthood or something, probably part of the Catholic Church. And it is believed that this symbol was just an alteration of the Greek letter a lowercase Greek letter omega. Omega. Interesting. If Christ is the first and the last, omega would be a befitting symbol to represent infinity, because he would never stop. But there have been perversions of this symbol, I believe. I don't believe it's this symbol, but some think it is. This infinity symbol is supposed to be a serpent biting coiled up and biting its tail. And, you know, Satan likes to copy everything that is of God. So whatever the case may be, we know that the serpent does not represent eternity. How do we know that? So we can just cross that out. How do we know that? Well, let's go to Revelation 20, verse 10. Let's read that scripture there. And it reads, "And the devil," the serpent, dragon, or Satan, those are just different names, and you can find that in Revelation 12, where he was given different names, "that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So there we go. I mean, if the serpent is doomed to die, then how could the serpent actually be a symbol of eternity? Doesn't make much sense, does it? Well, because I don't believe the serpent is a symbol of eternity. And you'll see all these different symbols with a circle called an Ouroboros, I think it's pronounced. And it's nothing more than a serpent biting its tail. If you look a lot of pagan symbology, you'll see that there. But let's go. So the serpent isn't an eternal being. He's a created being, destined for destruction. Let's go to Revelation 17, verse 11. And we're going to kind of contrast God, Almighty God, the eternal one, with the one that is not eternal. That's Satan, the one who thinks he's eternal but is not. Revelation 17, 11, and it reads, "And the beast that was and is not." Now what's interesting here is you can kind of see the same words used here. Remember Christ, it says he was and is and yet is to come. I can't remember if that's exactly what it was, but you recognize that phrase. It was from the chart we had up there. But here we have a similar wording here, but it's a little bit different. Now pay attention. "And the beast that was," the Antichrist and his false kingdom, "and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition." So he ends. He doesn't get to exist forever, like Christ was, or Almighty God. So he goes into perdition. And let's go to verse 12. "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." Again, not for an eternity. So you can see this compare and contrast between the eternal one and the one who is not eternal, the one who does not receive everlasting life. And that is the beast there. Kings only 1 hour with the beast. And here's another example. Revelation 12, verse 12. After Satan and his angels are kicked out of heaven, it reads, "Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them, but woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil," the serpent, "the dragon, is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a," what? "Short time." His time's limited. Let's go to another example. Revelation 13, verse 5. "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There we go again. A short time. And let's go to another scripture. "And I saw an angel come," Revelation 20, verse 1. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. and he laid hold on the dragon. That old serpent, there it is, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that, he should be loosed a little season. Okay? Not out into the eternity, but for a little season. And the reason I'm going to all these places again is because when Christ makes all those statements of who he is, he's trying to contrast himself with Satan and any other created being that likes to challenge his authority, because he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And he is the first and the last, and I could go on and on. He is the Almighty. So there we have it. And the devil that deceived them was, verse 10 here, after he was loose for the little season, and the devil, and he goes out and he deceives a great multitude that are a great part of the world again. And this is what happens to him. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Fascinating. Okay, so what is this? Let's go back to this which was, which is, and which is to come. You know, the book of Hosea holds many keys to the meaning of this phrase here, these phrases. And we're going to kind of go back and look at some of them, but let's look at this chart again. Past, present, future, the eternal one. Now the reason I say the book of Hosea, or did I say Hosea? Isaiah holds to the keys to the meaning of this phrase is because this phrase is actually, the phrase, the first and the last, is actually used, and we didn't read it. It was a couple more verses in Revelation, but it is quoted a few times back in Isaiah. And it's basically from Isaiah chapter 41 to Isaiah chapter 48, all kind of give us the message of why Christ would say this, what his message is when he says, I am which was, which is, and which is to come. I know I got that a little bit out of order there, but you know what I'm saying. In other words, what I'm saying is when you come across a phrase in the book of Revelation that's quoted in the Old Testament usually gives you a, in this case, I think about 10 chapters of information that tie into the book of Revelation. In other words, it explains what all of this means. So when I'm studying the book of Revelation, we're going to do it somewhat here. We're not going to go read all through all 10 chapters of Isaiah. But when you really want to understand something in Revelation, go back and read those chapters. If you see a quote, read the whole chapter, or even more than that, the few chapters before and after, to figure out what these symbols mean. And it's amazing how that'll open up to you. You know, you cannot understand the book of Revelation without understanding, having a great understanding of the Old Testament. You can get bits and pieces, but you won't get it all. That's why somebody who says, oh, I only study the New Testament now. Good luck, my friend. Good luck. You'll never understand the book of Revelation. And you probably are one that doesn't care anyways. You say the book of Revelation isn't meant to be understood. Boy, I'd hate to be in your shoes. The book of Revelation is the only book in the Bible that promises a special blessing for those who read it, and a curse for those who try to take away from it. Think about that. So let's go back to Isaiah, because Isaiah holds the keys to many of these things. And I want you to read all these chapters if you can on your own time, and you will be blessed. Because all these chapters, God is proving and making statements that He is the Eternal One. He is the Alpha and Omega. And in fact, it's actually the message that Christ wants those members of the seven churches of Revelation to give to the world. It's the gospel of the kingdom. And it gives you a lot of specifics right there. Anyways, let's go to Isaiah chapter 41, verse 4, and it reads, "Who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning?" From the beginning. "I, the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He." In other words, he says, who has designed all these things from the beginning? Who has spoken it? Who has done it? The first and the last has. The I am. Let's go to Isaiah 42, verse 9. "Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Think about that. Does that not sound like like some of the introductory verses in the book of Revelation? It certainly does. That's why you can see Isaiah chapter like 40 all the way to at least till like chapter 48. You could actually like place them inside Revelation chapter 1. So he says, "So I'm going to tell you about these things. Before I do a new thing, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to let you know." Isaiah 43, verse 10, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen," he's speaking of the Israelites, "that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be any after me." And you know what? That's a question that many young children have is, well, if God is God, who made God? And you know what you answer them? He is the Alpha and Omega. Or you could say, He is I am that I am. And that's really the best you can do. I know that. I know your son or daughter or your little child will say, well, they'll keep asking you questions. They'll keep going with the whys. But that's as far as you can really go. As far as you can really go. You can explain all these things. Use it as an opportunity to teach them. His name, I am that I am, and the Alpha and Omega. And just try to keep answering those whys with good pieces of information. Kids, that's how kids learn. They love that stuff. And when you give them the truth, their mind becomes illuminated. And they become alive with understanding. It's a beautiful thing. So God says, this is part of this Alpha and Omega. He says, hey, there's no other God besides me. I am He. And there's not going to be anybody after me. And you know what? Well, we'll talk about that later on. I'll just kind of get into it now. Modern day science, like I was saying in the introduction, and we're going to talk more about that, so hold on. Modern day science and scientists are beginning to see that there is a grand design in creation. These things aren't just randomly happening. But you know what? You know what the next move is? Is because science is getting way past the theory of evolution. Evolution is comical to any true scientist. So now eventually they're going to have to scrap it because it's just so way out of line, so ridiculous. They're going to scrap it. I believe they'll scrap it. You know what they're going to say? Instead of saying that God created us, and they're already saying this, and they're already planting the seeds, they're going to say that aliens made us. And that the aliens are coming back to see how we're doing. And you know who those aliens are or will be? Satan and his fallen angels. So they're being primed to reject the Creator for the gods, so to speak, or the aliens, whatever you want to call them. So God uses, notice here in this verse here, it says, you are my witnesses. God uses witnesses. He likes to prove and demonstrate who he is, as long as we pay attention. Isaiah 44, verse 6. I'm going to read this verse here. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Satan's not God. He is a finite being. He's not infinite like God. He's not the Alpha and the Omega, although he likes to say that he is with his little Ouroboros, a serpent biting its tail. There's that quote again there. That's right from the book of Revelation. Important quote. Isaiah 48, verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, and I should have highlighted that I didn't. I am the first, I also am the last. He really wants us to know that. He was calling out, he says, listen to me, Jacob. Listen to me, Israel. I am he. I am the first, I am the last. Everything comes forth from me. Isaiah 48, verse 13, mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth. I made this. And my right hand has spanned the heavens. I've stretched them out. The stars, the universes, the galaxies and the entire universe. Now check this out. When I call unto them, they stand together. What makes even the heavens move? Heavenly bodies, we're talking about stars, we're talking about galaxies. What makes them move? The voice of God. The Word of God. His commands. Now that's important. When I think about those words, commands, Word of God, and then things take action, they move. That's important. And you won't find out right at this next slide, but you will. So let's look at it. Let's look at an overview here. I've got a slide up here. It says God has revealed himself in different dimensions. Here are four of them. Now, these aren't by any means, I'm not trying to limit God to these things. These are just, God's revealed himself in many different dimensions. There aren't just four. I don't know if there could be hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. I don't know. But these are four that you would think of as kind of more scientific, scientific or literary or whatever you want to call it. But anyways, time, space, numerically, and alphabetically. And see, time, when he says, I am which is, which was, and which is to come, that God's, he's trying to reveal us in time. And you notice that all of these dimensions can't even contain him. Because he fills them all. Because he fills all of time, space. He can fill all of space. He says, I am that I am. I can be whatever I want to be. I am in all places at once. Even. I think what is that? There's another title for him where he says that. I can't think of it at this time. But numerically, first and the last, number one to infinity. Probably number one, maybe not, maybe isn't even that accurate. Maybe you have to go all the way backwards into the minus numbers. But anyways, alphabetically, he's the Alpha and Omega. Fascinating how God reveals himself. And are these things important? Yes, they are. They're really important. Everything in God's Word is important. These are witnesses. These are ways he has, you can look at these things and you can find witnesses within them. And we're going to talk about these in a little bit here. But let's go to an important place here. John chapter 1, verse 1. And it reads, "In the beginning was the Word." Remember, I am the first and the last. "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God." Now, isn't that fascinating? So it should be no doubt in our mind who Jesus Christ was. He was the living Word. He was God in the flesh. In his role or office of being the Word. That's another topic for another time, but let's go on. Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God." All things, John 1 verse 3, "All things were made by him." Now listen closely. "And without him was not anything made that was made." You know, Satan likes to try to create hybrids and manipulate God's creation, but he cannot actually give life himself. Just the same as we can take trees and build a house. We can make buildings. We can make all kinds of things with God's elements. His all the way down to the quantum physics, particles, the atoms, whatever, but we can't make the actual substance. We can't give life, and neither can Satan. Because of this verse here, it says, and again, no aliens. Because it says, "And without him, without the Word, was not anything made that was made." You know, Satan, again, tries to break the code, but he never will. There's something really profound here that we're going to get into in a second here. Let's go to verse 4. "In him was life, and the life was the light of man." Now, if you get into quantum physics and things like that, they basically talk about how this is a digital universe that we live in. And everything operates on particles of light. Particles of light. But that's not the topic we're going to go into today. We're going to go into this statement right here. "All things were made by the Word." That's very important. And in a sense, the Alpha and the Omega are the abbreviation of the Word. So when Christ says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega," in a sense, he's saying, "I am the Word." Because all those letters make up all the words. That's why he's the A to the Z, the Alpha to the Omega, the Aleph to the Tav. Aleph to the Tav. But let's take a look here. There's something that you're going to see here that's fascinating. The prime root of all things created equal the Word. Or, let's break this down even a little farther, or words, codes, or information. We're going to see something here again. Many of you are familiar with this picture here. This is a strand of DNA. DNA, and this, you know, and this is, let's take a look at this. Here's a picture of DNA structures, but you'll notice that there are letters. Yes, letters contained within the DNA strands here. In other words, there's a code here within our DNA, and that tells, every bit of DNA tells our body how to make itself. It's everybody, every human being has a DNA code. It's in our hair, it's in our skin, it's everywhere. And it's the program, if you would, or the code that builds us. All right, we're going to look a little closer into this. Now, if you were to take your DNA strand and you were to unravel it, the codes, and you, it would look something like this. Series of letters. Well, it doesn't mean much to us, but you know what? It is a language nevertheless. Somebody wrote this. Somebody wrote this code, and it can be translated into letters, codes, or words. words. Now, do you know why I went back to in the beginning was the word? Now, I'll put this all together here for you in a second. And there's another look at it. If you're to look at it, it sort of looks like a computer code or something. But anyways, I'm going to explain this, I guess. Where I thought there was another slide we're going to go to, but think about this. If the Word created all things, like John tells us, if the Word created all things, and if our DNA, makeup is a system of code words, then DNA codes are, now listen to me closely, DNA codes are the words of God. Think about that. That means when you're looking at DNA codes, you're looking at the Word of God written with His own hands. And you know what that also means? That means, because every individual has an individual DNA code, that means God's Word, His commands, are inside each and every one of us. In fact, they're inside all of creation. Think about that. That's profound. That's profound when you think about it. You know, and it brings to mind different verses like Matthew chapter 13, when Christ said the Word of God is like a seed that's cast out, that's cast into the ground and it grows. You know, those seeds are, you know, just really tiny things embedded with a code that tells that plant how to replicate itself. The Word of God does that. It's just the same as DNA. And so when you look, again, when you're looking at this screen here, you're looking at these codes. These are the words of God. Yeah, we don't understand. We can't, you know, they don't look like words to us. But nevertheless, when God says, by His Word was everything made that was made, He really meant it. He really meant it. And I'm going to go to a verse here. John 14, verse 19, and it says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Verse 20, and that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Think about that. You know, I think there's dual, a dual meaning here. Because I think there's actually a literal meaning here as well. If the Word, if Christ was the Word, and if He dwells, if He's inside of us, then that's when you're looking at DNA codes and breakthroughs in modern day scientific discoveries, we see that God's Word, the Word of God, is inside each and every one of us. I just can't get over how amazing that is. His commands, His words, that DNA, all those different words of His tell or command everything that happens in our body. Everything that happens in our body. Amazing. Amazing. You know, His fingerprints are all over everything. As long as we look and we observe and we have eyes to see and ears to hear, it's impossible not to see it. I mean, you don't even have to look down. You can just look at the creation in general and realize there's a God. You don't have to even get down to DNA science or quantum physics to understand this, but we can. We can prove God's Word by that. We can prove that by His Word were all things created. His codes. His language. And let me see here. There you go. There's another representation. Oh, no, that's a different one there. This one we're not going to get into right now, but basically all computers use what's called a binary code system, where it's just a series of ones and zeros that can make up all communication, all language, all different letters and so forth. Like, let's say 0001 could mean the letter A and so on. It's fascinating that it can be broken down to two simple commands. Everything can be broken down to two simple commands, which possibly could be. I mean, it doesn't have to be ones or zeros. We could have put in place here the Alpha or the Omega or the Aleph to the Tav. And those two letters could communicate everything. Everything could run off of the Alpha and the Omega. Two letters. That's all you need is a yes or a no. And all things could run. And that might be another topic for another time, but binary code systems. Anyways, let's close this up with a couple verses here. Deuteronomy 32, verse 39, God says, "See now that I, even I am," there's that sacred name there, "I am He, I am it, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive," I make alive, there it is, "I am the by the word, I wound, and I heal." Again, all of this is done by His word. "And I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." Verse 39, "See now that I am He." Oh, I already read that. I was supposed to go to the next verse, and I'm going to have to turn there on my regular Bible here because I didn't have it on the pre-programmed slide there. This is the most important verse that I wanted to go to here. Deuteronomy 32, verse 40. He says, "For I lift up my hand to heaven, and I say, I live forever. I am Alpha and the Omega. I am the first and the last. I am He that is to come." And on the list goes. "I am the Almighty." You know, so many things said in God's word that we need to take. Like I said, we're not going to just run through this book of Revelation and make generalizations and things like that. I mean, sometimes it's good to, you know, there are a lot of teachers that will go through it fast. And I've gone through things like this book before fast before too. And there's nothing wrong with that. But this time through, we want to do an exhaustive study because there are so many new things, at least new to me, that I really feel need to be shared. And it's fast. I mean, I'm so fascinated while studying this book. It just helps me realize more and more the majesty of our King and our Creator. Well, until next time, do like Christ said in Matthew chapter 4, when tempted of the devil, He said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." You know, we just talked about that, so that means so much more to you now, doesn't it? So see that you consume it, see that you digest it every day so that you can be a Christian overcomer. Christian Overcomers is brought to you by the tithes and offerings of our listeners. If you'd like to help support Christian Overcomers, you can do so by becoming a member for a $15 a month tithe, donation, or offering, simply by going to ChristianOvercomers.com. All memberships include unlimited access to all current and archived audio podcasts that can be saved and downloaded for listening at your convenience. God bless you, and thank you for your support.